It's Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. You're listening to The Sunday Alternative with me, Giles Cosgrove. 2 hours of rock, pop, and everything in between. And joining me on the show today, as promised, guitar hero and founding member of legendary 70s band Echo and the Bunnymen, Will Sergeant. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, yeah. Pretty good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me on the show this afternoon. We're here to talk about your brand new memoir, Bunny Man. And The question is, a memoir, why now?
Well, what it was I wrote it like sort of, I started writing a science fiction book years ago, like I'm talking like 15 years ago or something, just as like a sort of creative outlet thing. And I quite liked the writing and I liked the descriptive element of writing. And then later on, labels started putting out our first four records on vinyl, you know, 180 gram vinyl and all that, you know, kind of reissues. And they asked me to do the sleeve notes. And I really enjoyed doing them. And that sort of led me to thinking, you know, maybe I could write a book. And there has been sort of talk of a book for a while. Like, you know, there's been a few publishers and stuff interested over the years. But it just sort of led me going down that route. And I met somebody that got me in touch with a agent, and then they got me the deal with Little Brown, you know, Constable.
And I've got the book here, and it's an absolutely gorgeous hardback. I've been reading it since I got it last week, and it's just an absolutely engrossing read. And what's really interesting to me is I don't think, judging from what I can read of the book, the success of the band was never a given. It was more luck than anything else, at least from your perspective. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, like Mac will have a completely different view on it. He'll think that he was like born to be a god, you know, but I just to me, it was all fluky things that happened, you know, like we were just in the right place at the right time and doing the right things. And a lot of the time we sort of, it wasn't the things we did, it's the things we didn't do. You know, we sort of made ourselves kind of like an interesting sort of item because of the things that we wouldn't do. You know, we turned down loads of things, you know, like, would you support this band or that band? And I always used to say, no, you know, we're not doing that. Mainly because we didn't like the bands that were, you know, they were asking us to support them.
One of my favorite stories in the book is when you guys rock up to Maidervale Studios to record your first John Peel session. Yeah. And it was, you talk about going back to being with your mum listening to Sing Something Simple, then all of a sudden being in the exact same studio where that was recorded. What was that like?
It was brilliant. It's like the BBC then, it was very like, kind of like institutionalized kind of thing. You know, it wasn't far off from when they used to have like lab coats on in the studio and all that. And it was great seeing the Radiophonic Workshop little studio. We, you know, we went past it and we sort of sneaked in there and had a little look. It was only a tiny room. It wasn't like a great big thing, you know. So it had that sort of mental hospital feel about it.
that's a great analogy. I love that.
The grey BBC standard grey issue walls that were like painted loads of times and like layers and layers of. Every 3 years it gets repainted or whatever, you know, but it's pristine, but kind of thick, you know, and like the canteen and everything. It was like an institution from another time, you know, like BBC's changed now, hasn't it? A lot, you know, it's moved to you know, Salford and that. But then it was like, it was just weird. It was like a, I don't know, something from the 50s or something, you know, 40s.
And like a lot of your contemporaries, recording a John Peel session was integral to progressing the success of the band. What was he like to work with? Did you see him when you were recording the session? Or was it just a case of you would record it at Maidervale and then he would play it later on? You never had any interaction with him?
No, we didn't really. And like when he played our first single on the show, he said that was the Mighty Echo and the Bunnymen, and we were like so chuffed that he'd said that, you know, the Mighty. And we got a stamp made the next day. Bill Drummond got a stamp made, and we were stamping everything with the Mighty Echo and the Bunnymen.
I love that.
So cool. And like Peely was, Like, he was never there in the studio when you did your sessions. You know, it was in a different, completely different place to where he was. And they were recorded and then slotted in a couple of weeks later, if you like. You know, they weren't sort of, wasn't a live thing. But we did meet him a couple of times, and we did play on his birthday as well.
Wow. What was that like? That must have been incredible.
Yeah, we did. I think it was with PJ Harvey. We did a couple of times. We played this birthday party. He used to have these birthday parties at the what was it called? The Electric Ballroom, was it, in London or somewhere like that?
Must have been. I'm sure a lot of people will always wonder, from right when you were having the big success in the 80s all the way through to now, Echo and the Bunnymen, where on earth does that name come from?
Mac had a flat with this lad called Paul Ellerbeck, and he was like a sort of art student or something, and he came up with all these names, these crazy, like, surreal, you know, names like Glycerol and the Fan Extractors and Mona Lisa and the Grease Guns. And he'd written all these names down on a little bit of paper. I hadn't seen this bit of paper. I didn't know anything about the name thing. Because, like, me and Mac had never really talked about having a name. You know, it was just, I don't know, it was just sort of fun to do, you know, to make songs up and things. This is before Les joined, you know, even. And well, that night when we played with we sort of supported Teardrop Explodes, they asked us to do it, and Julian just jumped up on the stage and he had this list and he just picked a name off the list, and it was Echo and the Bunnymen, and that was that. And I was like a bit miffed, you know. I didn't like it. I thought it was like horrible.
It is always the way, isn't it, with band names? I believe that Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day has said in the past that Green Day is the worst band name in the world. So it is usually the band name everyone hates becomes the one that everyone knows the band for.
Yeah, well, I didn't hate it, but, you know, I just didn't like the idea that I didn't get a say.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You know, it's kind of like an ego trip thing, you know. I can't even call them, you know, because I figured it was like my band. I started it and everything.
Yeah. And reading the book, what I think is really fascinating is you guys were pioneers of using a drum machine, but I don't think it was through any experimentation or trying to be far out. It was just through necessity.
No, it was being a bit far out, because I was like really into like Brian Eno and, you know, Kraftwerk and stuff like that. So the drum machine thing was kind of, it was like trying to be a bit different, you know. And there was not that many drummers in Liverpool at the time, you know, as well. So it's kind of I suppose it was a bit necessity, but it was just something I bought because I liked electronic music as well as guitar music, you know. I like Tangerine Dream and Kraftwerk and all that stuff, you know.
Is it fair to say that the explosion of interest in Echo and the Bunnymen came as a surprise come the 80s, especially with The Killing Moon, which I think personally for me, it's that opening guitar lick from you is up there as like the top three most iconic guitar moments of the 80s, along with the riff from How Soon Is Now and the riff from Beat It. It's just incredible. How did that sound come about?
Well, that one was what it was. We were in the studio, and we're in the studio in Bath called Crescent Studios. We were just like tuning up, you know, like getting ready to do the backing track or whatever. And I just did that little guitar thing. And it was just like me checking that I was in tune, really. It wasn't like any idea of trying to make a riff or anything. And we went off for a curry. And when we came back, the producer, this bloke called David Lord, he'd found this little bit of guitar that I'd done in the sort of warm up to doing the backing track. And he spliced it together, you know, sort of, copied it onto a tape and then fed it back onto the 24 track, and, you know, repeated it so it does it twice. And it was I suppose like an early, very early form of sampling in a way, but that's the way you used to do things then, you know, like you used to do edit sections and like, you know, splice them into the tape and all that stuff. And he just created this little thing out of this thing that I just did randomly. And then when we came back from the curry house, he played as it, and we all thought it was great, you know. And I've been trying to learn how I did it. Well, it was just like a throwaway kind of like little moment.
We're going to hear it now then, right here on Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. Will Sergeant of Echo and the Bunnymen is joining me on the Sunday Alternative, and this is their classic, The Killing Moon.
excellent though I know it must be the killing time. Unwillingly mine. Fate up against your will through the thick and thin. He will wait until you give yourself to him. I saw you so cruelly, you kissed me. Your lips a magic world, your sky all hung with jewels. The killing moon will come too soon. Fate up against your will through the thick and give yourself to
Killing Moon on Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. You're listening to The Sunday Alternative. I'm Giles Cosgrove, and joining me in the studio is Will Surgeon, founding member and guitarist of Echo and the Bunnymen. His brand new memoir, Bunnyman, is out now. It's a marvelous read, and you've clearly had great taste throughout your life, right the way down to a young age when you've said in the book that your favourite childhood shows were Fireball XL5 and Thunderbirds, which is also, I think, an interesting but quite harrowing read to understand how difficult your childhood was at times.
Well, looking at it now from the future, it was. But at the time, it was just, it was no big thing to me. It wasn't like lying in bed crying my eyes out every night. You know, it was just, that was my normal, so it wasn't like the sort of aggro between my mum and dad was just normal. It was like water off a duck's back at the time. I wasn't like, it was just what I'd grown up with. I didn't know a day when my dad didn't go to the pub, and I didn't know a day when they spoke to each other in a nice way. You know, when you're a parent, you want to be nice to your kids.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, what were they doing? You know, it's only like later on you think about it, you think, God, what was going on there? Like, you know, and you know, it's the truth. So, you know, I'm not going to lie about it.
No, I think the honesty within that section of the book is really quite admirable. And there's no beating around the bush with it. And it's a refreshing read, whereas some would hide away from that and be like, oh, that didn't happen. You're upfront about it. Would it be fair to say that potentially some of that seeped its way into the mood of the band later down the line?
It definitely seeped its way into the mood of me, because I was like, you know, a bit of a solemn kid, if you like, you know. But it wasn't like, you know, hell, if you know what I mean. It was just the way it was, you know. Like when I went around to my mates' houses, and their mums and dads were like nice to each other, or would, you know, kiss each other when they came, you know, like say one come from work or whatever. That freaked me out. I thought they were the weirdos.
Yeah, you know? I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense. Echo and the Bunnymen have always been a cult band, and they've had this real cinematic effect in the last 20, 30 years. The new music has been used in a lot of films, particularly, of course, Donnie Darko. Was there ever the aim to make something that sounded cinematic, or was it just a question of it sounded broad and good and exciting, and then it went on to be used in films?
Yeah, I think what we always wanted to do was make stuff that was going to last, that wasn't like really tied to a time. I think most of our records aren't. You could play them now and you wouldn't think, oh, that's from the 80s, you know, particularly. Like a lot of the sounds that we used were solid sounds. We didn't get into like using chorus all over the guitars and all them flangey effects and all that stuff. We just, you know, we sort of date it, and them horrible big drum sounds that they had in the 80s, you know, we were trying to keep it like real. You know, I know it sounds corny, but we were trying to keep it more like real. So I mean, never used that much synthesizers. You know, we did use a bit only, you know, like on the second LP, we used one synthesizer on Over the Wall, but we kind of got it like kind of an old school sound, you know, like a growly sawtooth sound. It wasn't like one of these modern sparkly, you know, sounds that everybody was using. Like with there was a synth out then called the DX7, which had all these like bell sounds and stuff. It's actually Eno's favorite synth, but he knows how to program it. It's dead complicated. It's like, it's all like, you know, you got to mess around with like all the numbers and stuff rather than, it's not like loads of knobs on it. But everyone was using these DX7 things and we hated them, you know, because they were too nice. All the sounds were too nice.
I first discovered your music myself through The Lost Boys. I'm a huge fan of that film. And you guys did a cover of The Doors' People Are Strange. And I've looked into this, and I think there's a really fascinating story that doesn't get told enough about the recording of that, because you actually worked with a member of The Doors on that cover. How did that happen?
It was the director of the film, Joel Schumacher, wanted us to do, you know, the song, and he wanted that song in there, but he didn't want it to be The Doors version for some reason. And the idea was, we'll get Ray Manzarek, who was the keyboard player with The Doors, to produce it. And he was, you know, up for it, doing it. he showed me how to play the guitar bit, you know. And,
oh, wow.
You know, I'm not obviously nowhere near as good as Robbie Krieger, but it's kind of, it's my version of it, if you like. Like, I know Mac didn't want to do it at first, and then after Joel Schumacher had spoke to him, he changed his mind, and we decided to do it. And the mad thing is, like, Ray Manzarek came all the way from Los Angeles to Kirby.
Wow.
In Kirby, in, like, the studio there called Amazon Studios, which was our sort of second home at the time. We were always in there. And then, like, later on, we were in Rockfield Studios a lot as well in Wales, which we loved. Yeah, so, yeah, it was good. It was, you know, he's a really nice bloke. Like, he's dead now, isn't he, Ray? But, you know, he was... And he played with us live a couple of times as well. Like, he, you know, gone on stage with us and played the song. And
what was your favourite use of an Echo and the Bunnymen song in film?
Well, I think the Donnie Darko thing is hard to beat, isn't it?
Yeah. So here it is on Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM, a cover of The Doors' classic People Are Strange from the Lost Boys soundtrack. This is Echo and the Bunnymen on the Sunday Alternative.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are running when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange. Strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
Strange from Echo and the Bunnymen on the Sunday Alternative, and I'm joined in the studio by Will Surgeon, founding member and guitarist of the band, whose brand new memoir, Bunnyman, is out right now. thank you so much for being on the Sunday Alternative. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
No worries. It's been a lot of fun.
You've talked very heavily in the book about your personal favorite music of that period, especially Joy Division. What would you say are your top three bands of all time?
Oh, God. Television. I really like Love. Do you know them?
I recognize the name. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that's an impossible question. Like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I know exactly what you mean. It's a difficult one, but it's why I like asking it.
Okay. Television, Love. Can it be a solo?
It can be anything you want. Any artist, any band.
Got to be David Bowie, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What would you say were the most influential artists on Echo and the Bunnymen? I know you're all big fans of David Bowie.
I think the Velvet Underground was a big band for us, and The Fall and Subway Sect. We used to really like them. Wire, Per Ubu and Mike. I love Per Ubu. The Residents, which were, you know, kind of a bit more avant-garde. You know, I think Les liked them, but not too sure about Mark. I think he likes them.
And are there plans for new Bunnymen music in the future? Because I know your last album came out in 2018. Is there plans for new music from you guys in the future?
Yeah. We're supposed to be, you know, doing one that right now, I think. But it's all a bit like up the wall with the COVID, you know.
Yeah, it's been a pain in the bum, hasn't it?
Yeah, certainly has.
When the album comes out, please come back and talk to us about it. We'd love to have it as album of the week on the show.
Yeah, okay.
I always love to ask the guest on the show to close out the show with a track of their choice, complete classic track to end the show with. What would you like to hear?
Oh, God. What about something from Scott Walker?
Yeah, we can do some Scott Walker. What track would you like to hear from Scott Walker?
What about Boy Child?
Boy Child, Scott Walker. We can certainly do that. Will Surgeon, Echo and the Bunnymen, thank you so much for joining me on the Sunday Alternative today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. It's been great.
It has been fantastic. Your memoir, Bunnyman, is out now. I would highly recommend it to anyone. I think it's a great insight into a band on the rise and a band starting up. And I think a lot of young musicians who listen to the show, I think they really need to get hold of this. I think it's great stuff. Please do come back and talk about the new Bunnymen album when that's out and when that's finished. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Yeah, okay.
So here it is on Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. You've been listening to The Sunday Alternative, and this is Boy Child, and I'll be back next week.
A boy child rides upon your back. Take him away through mirrors dark and blessed with cracks. Through forgotten courtyards where you used to search for you. Old gets a new life. Reach out, you can touch, it's true. He's not a shadow of shadows like you, you see. Hearts hold on holding. If you stay one, you'll stay free. Go seek the lady. Not take away. Naked with stillness on the edge of dawn she stays. Night starts to empty. That's when her song begins. She'll make you happy. She'll take you deep within. Window lights for wanderers hide hard in your swollen eyes. Echoes of laughter hide in the city's thighs. Thank you. Love, catch these fragments swirling through the winds of night. What can it cost to give a boy child back his sight? Extensions through dimensions leave you feeling cold and lame. Boy child mustn't tremble, 'cause he came without a name.